Please join your hearts with mine in a moment of prayer. God, in the hearing of your word, in the proclaiming of your word, take our hearts and seal them to you and your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I thought it might be worthwhile to first take stock. We started this summer sermon journey through Genesis on Children and Youth Sunday, which seems like forever ago. And on that day, we heard the first creation story of how God created all that there is and declared that it was good. And then in the Sundays from then until now, we've studied the saga of the patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith, who, we should note, are also the patriarchs and matriarchs of both the Jewish and Islamic faiths. We learned of Abraham and Sarah and of their inability to have a child, despite God's promise to the contrary. And then we heard of Abraham and Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, and how they did indeed have a child and named him Ishmael. And then a decade or so later, Sarah did indeed conceive and bore Isaac, whose name means laughter, but whose life included some not so funny moments, like when his father all but sacrificed him, or when in his old age, his younger son Jacob colluded with his wife Rebekah to con his elder son Esau out of his blessing and birthright. And now, if that wasn't enough, Isaac's family is being torn in two, one son rebelling and the other son running. And that catches us up to today, where our story picks up. Jacob is the brother running. Listen to the word of God, which I will read starting with verse 10, from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of scripture found in The Message. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and camped for the night since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there and he set it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground, and it reached all the way towards the sky. Angels of God were going up and coming down. And then God was right before him, saying, "I am God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving the ground on which you are sleeping to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from west to east, from north to south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and your descendants. Yes, I will stay with you. I will protect you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this very ground. I'll stick with you until I've done everything that I have promised you." Jacob woke from his sleep, and he said, "God is in this place truly, and I didn't even know it." Jacob was terrified, and he whispered in awe, "Incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven." Jacob was up first thing in the morning, and he took the stone that he had used as a pillow, and he set it up as a memorial pillar, and he poured oil over it. He christened the place Bethel, which means God's house. The name of the town previously had been Luz. And then Jacob vowed a vow. "If God stands by me and protects me on this journey on which I am setting out. If God keeps me in food and clothing and brings me back in one piece to my Father's house, then this God will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a memorial pillar will mark this as a place where God lives. And everything you give me, I will return a tenth to you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. So, this week in Vacation Bible School, we will welcome 80 of children ages 3 to 13. And we will tell them, teach them with puppetry and song and storytelling, through crafts and science and mission and service and snacks and even through games, all about God's heroes. Namely, that God's heroes have heart, God's heroes have courage, God's heroes have wisdom, God's heroes have hope, and God's heroes have power. But I wonder, did Jacob? And so to answer this pressing question, I found a BuzzFeed quiz called What Kind of Hero Are You? Parenthetically, if you do not know what a BuzzFeed quiz is, it is the answer to all of your most pressing questions. Like, which Disney princess am I? What is my Hogwarts house? How clumsy are you, really? What pair of sisters are you and your sister most like? You guys can take that one. And on and on and on until suddenly you've wasted too many hours and lost all sense of self not found in these quizzes. So, Jacob, what kind of hero are you? The first question, labeled heart, reads, if your brother came in from a long day's work, famished and looking for food, and you had cooked your famous lentil stew, and your brother asked so politely for a bowl, would you A, pour him a hearty helping, or B, offer him a bowl, but only in exchange for his birthright? Jacob answers, B. The second question, labeled courage. It reads, if your brother was angry with you, like really mad at you, maybe even looking to hurt slash kill you, would you A, give him a day or two to cool down and then maybe try to talk to him first by text and perhaps with the help of a third party mediator in hopes of one day restoring the relationship, or B, run away and stay far away for 20 years? Jacob answers, B. The third question, labeled wisdom. It reads, if you felt like your lot in life was a matter of injustice, that you were a victim to a tired system that lacked imagination and favored some over others based solely on birth order, would you A, subvert the system with your wisdom, looking to point out its injustices without causing further harm or injustice to others, or B, subvert the system with a quick con job, thinking not of the long-term damage or who might be hurt along the way? Jacob answers, B. Fourth question, labeled hope. It reads, if you found yourself in limbo, landless and rootless, with no real prospects for the future, and God suddenly appeared to you in a dream, offering you hope and protection and a familiar and trusted promise, would you, A, declare that nowhere place to be the place of God, and mark it as a holy place, and declare God's goodness and grace, and look with hope to the future, giving always graciously back to God part of what God has so graciously given to you? Or would you, B, declare that nowhere place to be a place of God and mark it as a holy place with one condition, If God delivers you, protects you, and saves you, then you'll believe in God, and then this place will be a holy place, and then and only then will you give one-tenth of what God has given so freely back to God. Jacob answers, B. Fifth and final question, labeled power. It reads, reflecting on your life today, would you say that you use your power, A, for the benefit and blessing of others, or B, for the benefit and blessing of yourself? Jacob answers, B. And then Jacob's results pop up on the screen. What he's been waiting for. Tell me who I am. What kind of hero am I? Congratulations, Jacob. You will make a great 21st century American hero. People will look to your hate, your cowardice, your cunning, your ego, and your abuse of power with great joy and enthusiasm. They will look to you to lead them. Of course, Jacob, that also means that you do not at this moment qualify as a hero for God. If you would like to be a different kind of hero, we recommend the First Presbyterian Church of Cranberry Vacation Bible School program. This BuzzFeed quiz was amazing. It starts tomorrow and offers lessons on how to love and serve God with heart, courage, wisdom, hope, and power. Nothing is impossible with God, Jacob. Now, like all BuzzFeed quizzes, this one was flawed. It can only tell us so much about Jacob or about ourselves, and it is probably definitely biased, but I hope you still heard some truth in it. If you think about Jacob, it is hard to believe that Jacob could be God's hero. But if you think about God's power, imagination, and uncanny ability to make a way out of no way. If you think about how God, time and time again, turns what we intended for harm and instead uses it for good, it is easy to believe that God can make a hero out of anyone. I take you back to today's passage. Jacob is, in the words of one of my favorite professors from South Africa, Julie Claessens, Jacob is a, quote, vagabond. He's a vagabond somewhere between a conflict-ridden past and an uncertain future. He stumbles towards Haran, where he knows he has some relatives. The sun is setting upon no particular place, and he takes no particular stone for a pillow. He dreams. Again, in my old professor's words, quote, a dream that mirrors the flurry of activity of his waking life. A ladder that reaches up to heaven, a stairway of sorts, messengers of God going up and down, and there, suddenly, God stands before him. God is intimately present to Jacob. This is not a far away, distant, and removed God. God initiates. God offers the surprise encounter. God breaks into Jacob's anxious state with a brief glimpse of God's goodness and with words of great hope. God reiterates the promise made to Jacob's grandfather and father, to Abraham and Isaac. God shows Jacob in this most vulnerable moment that God is not only the God of first and second generation, but this God is his God as well. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's story will be their story, which is indeed God's story, a story of promise, of hope, of life. God promises that Jacob will never be alone. even in his foreign travels and untold journeys. And God shares with Jacob God's dream for the world, that through this nation, other nations, indeed, the whole world over, will be blessed. In spite of who Jacob is, God sees Jacob's vulnerability and pain, and God speaks hope and promise and love. That's what we're trying to tell the children this week. My mantra for Christian education is, do not teach anything you will one day have to unteach. I'm sure many of us were taught things that we had to unlearn. So, this is what we're teaching. It isn't that if you are good enough, you can be a hero for God. It isn't that God's heroes are perfect. It isn't that the 80 truly precious, wonderful, beautiful children who will come bounding through those doors tomorrow morning are perfect. It isn't that you in the pews are perfect, and it certainly isn't that I am in the pulpit am perfect. It is not about us and our qualifications at all. It is about God. It is that God is so good, so gracious, so loving, so powerful, that you and I are given the choice. Because God is so good, you and I can choose to be heroic in God. God is the source. In and through and with God, we can have heart and courage and wisdom and hope and power. God gave Jacob the choice. And Jacob responded in this moment by putting an if clause on God. If you give me mine, God, I will give you yours. But God did not care. God still protected Jacob, brought him back to his home in due time, and fulfilled the promises that God had made. Jacob, as we will hear in the weeks to come, remains a flawed human being. But he does, in time, ultimately, without qualification, choose God. Stay tuned. And in the meantime, make your own choice. Will you be a hero for God? For God is good. God is present. And God's promises are sure. To God be the glory. Amen.